What's good?
This is Nate Burleson.
I'm Real Mike Rob.
Hey, this is the R&B Podcast. TD, drop that beat.
Shout my name out, cause you bad. Mommy, we can jump. Tune into the R&B show.
Be sure to tune in.
Tune into the R&B show.
Be sure to tune in.
All season long.
Yeah.
Never gets old,
Never
Nate.
Never gets old. This is the R&B Podcast.
I'm Nate Burleson.
I'm Real Mike Rob, man.
This is the best podcast out. R&B. Everybody loves a little R&B. This is where we talk sports, life, music. NFL, of course, because that's what we did and what we do. We'll give you our perspective. So this is like your favorite sports podcast meets the views.
Can't trust nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. Dropped out of school, now we done.
Hey. Really,
this sound like some 4301.
Oh. Hey. I don't edit.
Turn your podcast into a lifestyle.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Look, that CD go hard, dog. I'm not going to trip. Like, when I first heard it, Nate, I wasn't all that on it. Right. But, like, by the third time I listened to it, and again, Drake earns that respect that you give it three listens to.
I feel
you
like.
You see what I'm saying?
Drake's albums are like a pair of Jordans. When you first see him, you're like, oh, that was cool. But then we see him again, you're like, those are fire.
And then when you
and
put them on,
line, you're
appreciate
like, that
them.
Was classic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to trip, but I like the CD.
So coming up on today's show, we're going to talk Brandon Browner.
BB!
Yeah.
BB always talking that stuff, man.
Yeah, he
that's
got
my
to,
dog.
And that's what
man.
He do.
That's
and he
my
play
dog.
Well. And we're going to talk Ryan Fitzpatrick, of course.
Hey, man, he better do something.
Yeah, we're going to cover –
the wideouts, man. Y'all boys,
man. Listen,
man. Why y'all doing that stuff? I got stuff on my mind today,
we'll
Nate.
Get there, Mike.
Okay,
Rob.
Man. I got stuff on my mind today, man. Let's go.
And we're going to continue our new segment, which is Depth Chart Debates, and we're going to talk running backs.
Come on, man. You know I got a lot for you.
I know you got a lot.
I'm ready.
And then we'll wrap our show with Or Nah. That's the segment from producer TD, a dope segment he came up with. And speaking of our producer, TD, you got to tell the people what they need to do.
What's up, fellas? I don't know what you guys saw this weekend, but what the people need to do, if you're a parent, especially if you're a parent, please do not let your son or your kid into a gorilla's cage.
Come on, guys.
Bro.
Well, look, things happen. Mistakes happen. Hmm? Hold on. Just listen. Just hit me out.
Okay, I'm listening.
Just hit me out for a second because we don't know the circumstances, but I'm pretty sure they had bars so that the kid couldn't get there. But
all right.
I'm not going to lie, man. You know, you got people out there saying, you know, you saved the gorilla, which I agree on that. You don't want to take the gorilla's life, right?
Right.
But if that was your kid and your kid was over there and you saw that kid getting drugged like that, I would have jumped over and I would have said, you got to do something.
Yeah, you got to do something. Some people are saying, well, shock the gorilla, tase him, or wound him. Listen, you wound a gorilla next to a bait. That gorilla is about to go bananas. Bananas. So, first of all, just like you said, TD, why is your child so close to the gorilla?
Man,
How did the child get down?
I have no idea. I don't even know if I want to know, right? But I tell you one thing, my kids won't be anywhere near when we go to the zoo.
It's right. A cautionary tale, man.
Yeah, I tell you that one thing. I'm learned. I'm one of those. I don't have to go through that experience to have to learn from.
And listen,
I can watch other people.
I was watching Kevin Hart stand up, and he was talking about how a gorilla slapped the glass.
Yeah,
he's like, to me, a gorilla just escaped. That's how I am at the zoo. I'll be at. The little, like, I don't know, the ferret exhibit. And
yeah.
If things get too close, I'm backing up. I'm not.
That's
man,
true.
Listen, I am not Jack Hanna. I'm not going to be out here talking and touching animals. I ain't Dr. Doolittle. You never get that. Say, there's a sign. Don't get too close. But
yeah, you ain't got to do that. So definitely, please, that's what you need to do. Keep your kids away from gorillas. But also what you need to do is subscribe to R&B Podcast
Message.
On iTunes.
Yeah.
Message. And also review the show. These ratings are important. If you hit us up on Twitter saying you love the show, just do that on iTunes or Stitcher as well. It helps us out a lot.
Yeah.
There it is. TD, man, you got a beat for us, man? Let's get it.
Yeah, I like that.
It's like I can hear some early Will Smith when he was the Fresh Prince rapping on that show, man.
What's that song? What it sound like.
Hey, my boy Brandon Browner, BB.
Yeah.
Back in the LOB up in Seattle.
Okay.
He goes on Instagram. He calls out the Saints. He calls them weak.
Okay.
And I can hear BB. Man, them boys weak. I can hear him already. He calls them weak. He says he took that few millions and ran with last year. Yes. Right. Part of one of the worst defenses to ever step on the field.
So
in NFL history.
He got paid a few million dollars.
Yeah, he did. He
played with the team. And now he's, you know, going to Instagram, social media, and calling them weak.
But I got in his defense, I think it was just a reaction to a fan.
Fans were coming at him.
It wasn't like he just went up there just to post, man, they weak. It wasn't like he just went out there to do that.
I understand sometimes you feel like you got to respond to the fans and kind of, you know, defend decisions you make or teams you played on, but this is the wrong way to go about it. I respect Brandon Browner. Like, I love the way he plays. He's one of those dudes that you always have to account for. Big, fast, strong. You know, even at the age he's playing at now, he's going to be effective, you know, in the LOB, back reunited. But you never – first of all, you never bite one of the hands that fed you and fed your family. And it's almost in a sense that you're burning a bridge. Like, I know maybe he doesn't have any –
But what if he had some personal – stuff like really, like what if, and again, I'm just going by what we see on TV. We saw him arguing with Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator. Okay.
Right.
What if it was part of that anger comes from maybe a feel of disrespect? I mean, we've been there. We've been there when we felt like coaches have disrespected us or not put us in the right position to succeed. No, I mean, I
get that, but you don't, when you say a team, when you say the Saints, you're talking about a whole organization.
Yeah.
And everybody that's within it, you know, and what if, you know, he's, you know, a couple years down the line, he wants to get into coaching or say he's a free agent.
That's true.
And they're looking again. Don't burn bridges. And another reason I don't really like the statement is because when you give the fans a reason to think you're playing for just the money, it dilutes what fans appreciate about us. They appreciate the fact that even with a cloud of dollar signs hanging over everybody's head, they can appreciate the fact that we do it because we love it. When you make a comment like, hey, man, I just took them a few million, I ran with it. It's like, bro, you was there to collect a check. And we know guys that did that.
Yeah, and right? That's what I was about to say. I mean, there are guys in this league that do it.
But they don't say it, though.
Okay, you're right. But this is my thing. This is my thing on the whole thing. And, like, again, BB, I would consider him a friend, right?
Right, right.
And I probably would have advised him not to say this, quite frankly. But let's say last year happened like this. Let's say he made $3 million last year. Those are the few millions he said he stole, right? Let's say this man was an all-pro last year and led the league in picks, PBUs, all of that.
Right.
And really warranted to be paid $15, $16 million, as that's what top corners are paid.
Right.
Do you think the team would renegotiate and give him his money? They're going to use him for what they needed to use him for.
Right.
And all BB is saying is, hey, man, I needed a job. They gave me a job. And I took the millions that was there. I probably could have stayed in New England or stayed somewhere or went somewhere else. Took less. You see what I'm saying? And been more successful last year.
But
I took a gamble. Y'all just like y'all took a gamble on me. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I get that. But
because teams do it to us all the time, Nate.
It's true. But I'm just breaking down, like, what he said. And for him to say Saints are weak, he was a Saint. So, essentially, you were weak too. I mean, the defense was terrible.
Yes, it was.
It's just like me knocking the Lions and being a guy that can look back and say, man, they were garbage when I was there. I didn't like the city, man. The whole organization's whack. Lions are terrible. I would be talking about myself. Yeah. So, you know, for him to make that comment, I think, it, like you said, it was just more him trying to lash back.
Yeah, it was emotional. It was emotional, I think. I think it was an emotional response. But, again, we live in a fishbowl. You can't do that. Yeah. But I tell you one thing, and this I'm going to digress a little bit. Sometimes fans like the rawness of that, right? Because, again, I go back to a couple weeks ago, Marshawn came to my football, my dinner and all of that.
Right, right.
He gave a speech, right? I think we talked about it last week. He cursed every other word, right? Which was, okay, that's him. But the attempt, like, people had cameras up. They loved it because, again, they knew he was crazy. They wanted to see it. And they got a chance to see it. And it's almost one of those where some fans like, man, you know, I respect them for that. But I'm talking about BB now.
Right.
I respect them for saying that because I want to know the realness about it. If that's how he felt last year, he took the money.
You know what I'm saying? I can dig that, Mike. But you.
I know, man. I'm just playing devil's advocate a little bit, man.
Yeah, but.
I got to.
There's certain guys that you expect realness from. And he's one of them.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that. Now, listen, we got to talk about a couple of receivers. You know, I
knew you was going to get in there.
Listen, we have to, man. Look, Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall reportedly stood up for still unsigned Ryan Fitzpatrick. So the question is, before I give my two cents, how do you feel about this, Mike? You know, because they're saying that they didn't show up for OTAs, which right now is what, voluntary?
Yeah.
But the coach said one doesn't have to do with the other.
Yeah, the coach said we knew why they weren't here.
It's unrelated.
Yeah.
But these are your two starting wide receivers who have spoken highly of Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, of course, they want to see their guy get paid and back in a uniform on the field sooner than later. Do you think it's okay for guys to take a stand like this when one of their teammates slash friends are going through a financial dispute with the organization?
Well, first of all, they're back in the building today, and Fitzpatrick isn't back in the building. And today's Tuesday. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if it was related to that, they still wouldn't be in the building. Okay?
Right, right.
I tell cats all the time, man, those guys are under contract.
Right.
Fitzy isn't. Right? So no matter how much support they want to give, no matter what they think of the situation, they don't handle the team's money. And at the end of the day, if they want to continue to have their career going successfully, they got to show up and work. And the Jets understand that. And, again, I understand, you know, hey, you know, I'm doing this for my quarterback. I'm a quarterback. I get it, right? But, again, just like we said last week, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to have to make a decision.
Right.
Do I want to retire? Because if we get into the season at a prorated rate, he's not going to get the $15 million he wants. So, and that's waiting for somebody to get hurt and then somebody signing you. He's not going to get that money.
Right.
This is the most money he's going to get unless somebody sustains a big injury before training camp, which the odds of that are happening are slim. Okay, so that's where we're at. The team knows that. There's no market for him. Okay, and the receivers, if they're smart, they better come on, get into practice, and get with the quarterback that's probably going to be throwing them the ball this year.
Okay,
because at the end of the day, you better start thinking about, you know, so success this season.
Reportedly, they were saying that the contract was around $12 million the first year.
Yeah.
And there were.
And I think Ian said this morning $15 million in guarantees and then $6 million a year after that.
So it drops significantly.
Yeah, significantly.
Okay, so say Fitz continues to trend upward and he has career numbers like he did last year.
But, Nate, man, I got to stop you right there, dog. I got to stop you right there, bro.
And then he's only making $6 million?
You're talking about a cat in year 13 or year 12, 13, and you keep saying ascending like he's not like he's going to get that much better now.
But what if he does, man?
Come on, Nate.
Because of the system he's in.
Come on, Nate. Well, show me then.
The guys they're surrounding.
Show me then.
Him with.
Well, then show me then. Take this deal and then go back to the table next year. Show me then.
But you know they won't pay him. If he
How do you know that? If he comes back and say, look, okay, well, boom, I hear y'all. I'm going to make this $15 million this year, okay, because I'm going to hit all my marks or whatever. I make this $15 million. That's what I want. And then next year we're going to have another problem, Why not do that then if you want to play?
Why not do this? Because you just said, Mike, if you're under contract, you're obligated. Now, all of a sudden,
then retire.
He's a disgruntled employee next year. If he knows, man, I'm playing better than half of the NFL quarterbacks. And all of a sudden, I'm making $6 million.
Or ask him to give you 1 year fully guaranteed contract.
That's what he should
do. You know what I'm saying? And just bet on yourself. I mean, again, if you – okay, I need to be making this type of money. And, again, I'm not saying I want Fitz to get paid what he thinks he's worth. But I'm also a guy that I'm about reality. If there were three or four other teams out there chasing him, then you got a point, man. Other teams are leveraged. That's how this game works. But you're still sitting out there, bro. We're in OTAs, man. This is where your timing get down. This is when you figure out little stuff you want to do in the season. When you try that double pass, when you try to reverse, when you try to throw backs and all. This is when you do it.
I get that, Mike. But it's also volunteer.
I understand it's volunteer, bro. I understand it's volunteer. But as you know, there's more expected out of that position. And whether it's volunteer or not, the quarterback's got to be there. You can say what you want. The quarterback of every team, all 32 teams' quarterback rooms are completely 100% during the voluntary part of the offseason.
So let me ask you this. You were talking about the organization, the Jets organization, having the most leverage in this back and forth between him and Fitzpatrick, or Fitzpatrick and the organization.
Yeah.
But you know, like I know, you're only as good as your backups, right?
Yeah.
So the question I have for you, you keep saying that if Fitz doesn't make this happen, then Decker and Marshall will be catching from whoever it is. Hackenberg, Geno Smith. Who they got the young.
They definitely don't want Geno Smith. Hey, look, hold on. Let's get to that for a second. Think about it for a second, though, Nate. I didn't mean to cut y'all. Think about it.
What's up?
If you Geno, you sitting up there with the stank face, dog, like, cuz. Y'all keep trying to chase this man, giving him more money. I'm sitting right here.
I'm your guy.
Then you draft a guy in the second round, and you giving him reps,
bro.
You draft a guy last year, you giving him reps.
But that's no knock to Geno, but that,
yes, it is a knock to
Geno. Geno's fault, though.
Yes, it is a knock to Geno.
I guess it is, but Geno just didn't play well. He's had some opportunities, and he didn't play well.
New regime.
So the question is, is Fitz out of the guys, the list of guys on that roster, Fitz at home, the guys on the field right now? Is Fitz clearly the best quarterback for this team?
Right now?
Yeah,
right now. He is, but not for $16 million a season. That's your answer.
Okay.
Now,
I can dig that.
If the price drops, okay, yeah, he becomes a lot more attractive. We can do something with him. But I know Ty Bowles personally, but I played against Ty Bowles, okay?
Right.
Defensive guy.
Right.
Defensive coaches say, you know what, you ain't got to give me a gunslinger. Just give me a guy that doesn't turn the ball over, can hand the ball off, can make the simple throw, can be manageable from the sideline. Let my defense, special teams, and run game win the ball game for me. I love that world. That's what Ty Bowles is saying. So, if I got to develop a rookie, I'll do it.
You can develop him in that system.
I'll do it. And you know what? This kind of reminds me what happened when I was on my way out of San Francisco at the time. But when Michael Crabtree, I first signed, and he was going through his contract dispute and things like that, and it was a lot of questions as to whether how it would affect the locker room. And my thing was, at first, I ain't gonna affect the locker room. No, we don't know this guy. He's a rookie,
right?
So we don't know how to love him or like him or what. But what happened was, when he did sign in the middle of training camp, when he did come back and he, you know, was hurt, you know, hurt,
right.
Quotation marks, hurt, and he didn't play all preseason, and, you know, it did start to rub the locker room the wrong way. It's like, dude, oh, so you stayed away to get your money. And in this particular instance, he was a rookie. They hadn't done anything.
Right.
And then when you come back, you ain't even putting up your load of the work. You see what I'm saying?
I know.
And pushing this back to Fitzpatrick again, when he got paid in Buffalo, loser the next couple of seasons after that. His history says when you reward him for those his greatest seasons ever, which are other quarterbacks, just regular seasons.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you pay him and reward him for that,
But that's the market value, Mike. You have to pay a guy for what he has done. And in this league, it's what have you done for me lately? And lately, Fitz is the guy for the job. I just hope he gets on that roster because I feel like they're a better team with him.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. They are.
All right. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, let's talk about Peyton Manning. You know, he has.
Why you got to talk about Peyton?
Well, he hasn't been in the news in a while.
So he's
what is he?
Retired, bro.
He retired drinking a beer right now.
Retired. He better be.
Chilling.
Chilling. Really chilling.
Well, let's talk about what he was doing in 2012.
Getting a size 9 hat.
Yeah, he got a big head. Smart, though. That's what it is. He's smart.
Yeah, he got a 6
That's why he's so smart.
But I got a big head, so I could talk about another guy.
Yeah, no, I get
that. You know
what I'm saying? So, Peyton Manning. They said he was close to signing with the Titans in 2012. Would that have been a move that would have redefined what we know as the great Peyton Manning?
2012.
We were still playing.
Yeah, I was in there. We went to the divisional round, lost to Atlanta that year. I don't know if it would have really hurt his legacy like that. I know he would have hated to probably have to play the Colts twice a year. You know what I'm saying? Because he has, I mean, that's the place Peyton built.
Right.
Who was the head coach at the time? Mike Munchak, you know. I don't know. And, again, I took a visit to Tennessee when I got released the year we won the Super Bowl in Seattle and I got back.
Right.
I don't know if that franchise at that time in 2012 was stable enough for Peyton Manning. Peyton is a guy who the organization has to be stable. The Ducks have to be in a row. You know, they have to be, you know, have to treat every situation with the urgency. You know what I mean? And I just didn't get that sense from the Titans organization when I took my visit.
Yeah.
But they were a losing franchise at the time.
He would have had Kenny Britt and CJ2K at running back, Lavelle Hawkins as a receiver, Kendall Wright at receiver. He would have had some decent talent.
But they weren't
a threat to the NFL.
No, they weren't. But I don't know. I look at that team in relation to the rest of the AFC because, again, even when Peyton was playing with the Colts, don't ever look at the division. It was always in relation to the entire AFC. You always looked at New England. You always looked at teams like that he was going to eventually play to get to the Super Bowl. That's what all that mattered.
Right.
And to me, he had a lot more he had a better supporting cast. He had a better organization in Denver, being that John Elway had played and all the things that he does in the front office. It was better for Peyton. I don't see them being that strong in the playoffs if he would have stayed with Tennessee. That's just my opinion on that.
Okay, now that's basically Peyton saying, I almost made this decision. The question I have for you is, were there moments in your career where you could have went left instead of going right? Was there a team that you could have signed with that would have?
Oh man, I was a backup running back, fullback, special team guy. Nate, I ain't had, you know, my options won't like that. A lot of interest in the NFC West because they got a chance to see me.
Right.
But right after we won the Super Bowl, and actually I was getting myself prepared to continue doing this job, and I got a call from Pete. I remember my wife and I, we were going to the movies with the kids, and I got a call from Pete, and everybody was on the phone was on the loudspeaker in the car. And, you know, my kids know Pete. Hey, coach, yeah. You know, blah, blah, blah. And they say hi to him, and he's like, Mike, you know, we don't know how this thing's going to shake up. You know, stay ready. Stay ready. Right. And I'm like, well, coach, you know, I can't sit here and wait on you.
Right.
Are you telling me that I'm probably going to be back? Because if you are, I'm about to turn this car around and go to the gym. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's facts.
But if you can't tell me that, I got to go with this. I got to go with this hot streak I'm riding. I got to go with this work I've put in the transition already.
Right.
And he was like, I can't guarantee nothing, Mike. I just can't. Mm. I said, well, coach, love you to death, man. I'll be here when you need me. Scott McLuhan in Washington, when he first got the general manager job, he wanted to see if I wanted to be the player engagement guy there. And, again, that's one of those types of jobs where you can be around for a long time.
Yeah.
I really thought about it. But you know what, man? It wouldn't be no R&B if I didn't.
That's
you
true.
Know, so, I, you know,
I'm
you know,
glad
I had
glad
to.
You didn't
I had to
decision.
Roll, man.
Listen, for me, you know, my first free agency experience was I was a restricted free agent – in Minnesota. Seattle put that tender in, and they matched it, mm-hmm. and they gave me the big contract. And then that's when the whole poison pill with Steve Hutchinson happened. So I didn't really have a choice on where else I could have went. Now, obviously, I could have went back to Minnesota, but I decided to go back to Seattle, go back home. But then after Seattle, 4 years, four-year contract, played it out, made all my money, and all
took
of a sudden,
those millions and ran with it.
I took them millions
and ran.
It was more than a few, but I took them. So, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, where can I go? Detroit Lions reached out, and, you know, I never considered going there, but Scott Linehan was there. And I wanted to wait because my agent said, look, there's teams that need a guy. They need a legitimate number two. You had a couple big years. You almost had 1,000 yards twice, but
yeah.
You had injuries. So in 4 years, you put up some numbers. So you're respected. And he was talking about Pittsburgh. He's talking about the Patriots.
You should have went there, Nate.
And he was talking.
Should have went to one. I'm just going to – you just should have went there.
You know what's crazy? So here's the thing. You know what's crazy? Like, I thought about those teams, and they're winning programs, organizations that every player wants to play for. But what got me excited wasn't a team that gave a legitimate, like, push for me. It was an article about a team that needed me. And that article – was found in Dallas.
I knew you was going to say Dallas.
I got this article sent to me.
You got a Dallas provider about you, man.
I got this article sent to me.
You know that?
They were saying this is the perfect guy for the job. He's a perfect number two, great leader. This is the guy you want.
Was Dallas there still? After him.
This was 2010.
T.O. wasn't.
So I'm not sure who was there, but I was geeked up, Mike. I'm talking about I sent the article to my dad. Yo, I'm about to be a Cowboy. Like, this is it. Like, you know, they were on Hard Knocks, and
yeah.
You know, T.O. was making T-shirts, and I'm thinking to myself, this is going to make me not a star on the helmet, but just a star in general. You play for that team, and you win, and you build your brand. It's perfect, but they never actually took their shot. So for me, it was just like college recruiting. The team that wanted me the most, the school that wanted me the most, that's where I went, and that's why I landed in Detroit.
That's dope, Nate. Hey, yeah. TD, man. We got another beat, man. Let's transition. Oh. Sound like we should be rapping. But I can't.
Rap, Mike.
I do it in the shower. You know what I'm saying? I do it in the shower in front of my wife and stuff. You know what I'm saying? In front of the mirror like I'm NWA and them back in the day. You know, hey, depth chart debate,
yeah.
running backs.
Yeah.
So I know you're a wide receiver, but I'm sure you played Pop Warner and you ran the football. And everybody, when they get the ball in their hands, there's some type of a running back or runner
right.
at the time.
Right.
And I ain't going to lie to you, Nate. I ain't never told you this, but you was one of the best guys that I've had to tackle.
I appreciate
running
it.
The football, dog. You was an animal on punt, the punt return. That. But anyway, what do you admire most about the running back position? And then I'll give you my.
Let me give you my brief history, you know, as a running back. So when I first started playing Pop Warner, I was tall, skinny, lanky. So it was like DN, tight end, you know, come off the edge. And then I started to get a little bit of speed. So right around fifth, sixth grade, they put me a receiver, play a little DB, a little safety. So I was always, you know, that guy, the receiver or the tight end or, you know, the not really glory position. You know, I wasn't a quarterback and I wasn't a running back. So my freshman year, we had just moved to Renton in Washington.
I used to live there.
Yeah. So I was zoned for a high school called Lindbergh. So I went to Lindbergh High School, and I'm not going to say the talent was terrible, but it wasn't as good as like inner city Seattle. Okay.
Yeah, terrible.
So
just keep it real, so dog.
I get there and I'm like, I'm looking around, you know, this first summer day, this transition into high school, and they got the freshman football team out there. And I'm thinking to myself, like, yo, I'm like legitimately the most talented guy here. And when I was in Seattle, where we originally lived, like, you know, you're one talented kid in a group of a lot.
Yeah.
So it wasn't often that I was in that position. So I'm sitting there, and the coach is like, hey, who wants to play quarterback? And I didn't want to play quarterback. So, you know, this tall, lanky kid named Adam McGurk, he stuck his hand up. And they were like, who wants to play running back? and nobody raised their hand. First of all, I thought this was a weird way of like asking wants to play what. No. Oh. I thought that, like, you know, even in Pop Warner, they would put the kids out, you practice, and then the coaches would say, oh, here's their skill set.
You going here, you going there. Yeah.
He didn't do that. He just was like,
who you want to play?
And me, I was like, yo, I never play running back. This is my time to shine. Maybe I'm the next Emmitt Smith.
So what right? did you like about it? What did you want to do
about it?
Oh,
Mike, you got to hear about my stats.
Oh, my bad. You must have got pummeled.
Listen.
You must have got smashed.
Yeah. Mike, first of all, we went 0-10, right?
Oh, yeah, y'all were terrible.
We didn't score a touchdown until the last game, and I didn't score a touchdown. All I did, we had pitch left, pitch right, and I did nothing
dude's
but spin.
Body.
That's all I did. I saw that on video games, and I just spin, move, get smacked. Spin, move, get smacked. After the season, I was like, Dad, I don't think running back is for me. He was like, yeah, you need to go out there and catch them balls. So I said all that to say this. I have the ultimate respect for the running back position, because if you can get the rock and manipulate a defender who is coming at you full speed, whether you run them over, run around them, or shake them up, you're one of the top athletes on the field on any given day. So when I look at complete running backs in the league, I'm looking at guys like Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell, Marshawn when he played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking it further back, you know, Marshall Faulk, who was one of the best ever to be a versatile specialist at the position. Man. So that's what I liked about the running back. Some of the more talented ones I've played with, you know, the short-lived career of – Javid Best, he was a Blazer who got drafted out of Cal, and he had the concussions in college, and then he had a few more in the league, and that shut down his career, but absolute speed demon and could stop on a dime and had vision. So, unfortunately, you know, concussions and that whole protocol kind of shut his career down. But those are the guys that come to mind when I think of game-changing running backs.
Nate, like, the crazy part about it is, man, when you're 8 yards in the dot, when you're 8 yards in the backfield, and you get to see the entire defense. I mean, you're deeper than the quarterback. I mean, you get to see everything. You see the rotations. You see corners. You see leverage on the receivers. You see gaps. You see, okay, when I start this zone to the right, okay, this backside linebacker, if he overruns and I can get this cut by my backside guard, man, if I push it to their feet, I know I'm gone.
Yeah.
I know I'm gone. If I got a three technique, I got to pop the clutch. I got to slow down a little bit because it's going to wash by and I'm going to get the back door. You know, you're looking at all of that. And when you get the ball as a runner, it's the only position on the field that you get the ball behind the line of scrimmage and all 11 defenders – are coming to get you. The corners are coming to get you. The safeties, the D linemen, the linebackers. When I throw the ball out to a receiver, not always, you know, some of these big fat linemen ain't running out there.
It's a handful of guys.
Yeah, it's a handful of guys. When I drop back as a quarterback, if I'm not a runner, it's only the guys that are blitzing the quarterback, whether it's the four downs and a couple of blitzes or whatever. It's only those guys. Everybody else is doing other jobs. But when a runner gets the ball, Nate, he's manipulating 11 guys. Oh, and maybe 9 or 10 more who are on his team.
Right.
He's reading their helmets. So you're talking about manipulating 20 guys when you get the football. To me, that's what's mind-boggling about the running back position. And two guys, obviously everybody knows I played with Marshawn, but people forget I played with Frank. People forget I backed up Frank for a few years before I became his fullback. We challenged each other. Frank didn't like me, so to say, when I first got there. I didn't know what this league was about. Right. I was one of those guys I could answer every question in the meeting because I played quarterback. I knew all the defenses and stuff. But I couldn't manipulate a defense with my eyes or have a feel for the run game as to where Frank couldn't even explain the cuts that he made.
Hey, so, just to backtrack, so you're saying you would suck up to the coaches so you can get more playing time?
I won't sucking up, but I knew the answers. Like, I can't help it. If I know the answers, man, I got to raise my hand. You see what I'm saying? That's just the way I am.
Mike's that dude who hang out with the homies at school, become test time. He knows all the answers.
Hey, man.
He actually studied.
And when you sit by me, I'm guarding my stuff. Back up. I was out partying with you. You know what I'm saying? And I got managed
but
to study.
I studied.
Exactly.
Right, I can dig that.
But anyway, Frank, man, he couldn't even explain to you some of the cuts he used to do. The vision. You talked to, and I've talked to these guys, Clint Portis, Edgerrin James, Najee Davenport, all these backs that used to come from the U. My boy Peyton, Jared Peyton, Walter's son. Talked to all these guys, and all of them say the best back to ever put on a Miami U jersey was Frank Gore. That's the best vision ever. And they look at Edge as the godfather, bro. Like,
oh, Edge? Woo. True.
Edge.
I played with Edge.
You feel what I'm saying? I played against Edge, party with Edge, all of that, man. Good brother, dude.
Yeah.
Real good dude. But Frank's vision, bro, I've never seen it in my life. And then when you look at Marshawn, one of my best friends, we still have talked about this today, Nate. Like, man, if you only had really knew the professional part of this game early in your career, how much better you would have been now. I don't think we've truly seen the best of Marshawn. I don't think we've ever seen it. Because what people don't realize is you look at some of his college tape, he can go out in the slot and beat you as a receiver. I mean, really beat you. I seen him beat a dude in a 40, karaoke-ing, dude running full speed.
That's crazy.
You see what I'm saying? Like, special athletes, bro.
You know who else was talented that I failed to mention? And his career was cut short, but due to different reasons, Ontario Smith. Ontario was nice.
What school he went to?
He went to Oregon.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say, yeah.
He was drafted fourth round the same year I was drafted in 03 by the Vikings, and he was one of the most talented running backs. That guy had 55 touchdowns, not in his high school career, his senior year. I remember we were all talking about our own highlights, and we were in training camp, and we're sitting there in the dorm. The vets was hazing us. I think we had eyebrows cut off, and we're just kind of bonding as a wounded group of guys that just got the whole treatment, the rookie treatment. And we're talking about high school. Kind of like, oh, man, we missed those days, you know, when we didn't have to go through the scolding. And so I start telling my little highlights, oh, man, we were a running team. You know, I had 14 touchdowns, but, you know, I only caught – a handful of balls. You know, that was the way we did it. And Ontario was like, man, what? I had 55. I'm like, man, you had 55 touchdowns in your career? He's like, not my senior year. I'm like, no. He's like, yeah, it's California record. I'm like, there's no way. And then he pops in a highlight tape and literally one of the best running backs I've ever seen.
Ever seen. And I've seen some of his highlights.
Only played a few years due to mistakes he's made. But
Terrence Phillips, another guy. But let me ask you this real quick before we move on to the next beat. Best running backs in the league today. Best running back or backs, depending on your answer.
You want one guy? I'm not going to be that guy and just give you one.
One guy.
Healthy Le'Veon Bell. He reminds me of a really unique combination of the running backs from yesteryear, and I'm talking the bruisers, the old school bruisers from the 80s and early 90s. But he also has that unique skill set of the visual running backs of the mid to late 90s, the Marshall Faulks and the Warwick Dunns.
Yep.
And then he has the patience of the new era running backs where he can sit there and shuffle his feet with a hand on the back of his lead blocker and then explode right off the shoulder into a hole that I didn't even see as a guy watching it on TV. So his skill set is tremendous.
Yeah, I was.
He has great height and weight.
I was second Le'Veon Bell. I would say Le'Veon needs to work on running with more leverage. He's getting to a point in his career where guys are gonna take those shots at his leg. He's a really good back. I mean, he's one of the best in the league. So he has to start to protect himself.
So
you see what I'm saying?
Running too high, running too low.
Running with leverage, he needs to. Again, he's a taller back, so him running low is still gonna seem tall to us. Because he's a taller back, you know what I mean? But it's all about just running behind your pads. He does a great job of running behind his pads, but he takes too many hits because his hitting surface is too big. If he would lower his hitting surface, which means kind of, I ain't going to say duck down, you keep your head up, but you kind of run with a little bit more knee bend.
Similar to how Adrian Peterson runs.
Nice. AP runs high, but that's him. That's what he does. And he'll eat a helmet to the chin like it ain't nothing. That's just what he do. All I'm saying is to help preserve Le'Veon a little, because he has gotten that rep right now as a little bit of an injury bug guy. But for me, I like the Le'Veon Bell. I will put AP right there with him. But Le'Veon a little slight more because he can catch the ball a little bit better. But Todd Gurley is going to separate from a lot of them. Todd Gurley, I cannot wait to see this kid with a quarterback. I cannot wait to see this kid without a knee brace. I knew his strength and conditioning coach down in Georgia. His strength and conditioning coach is my left tackle in college. And the kid is special, and he has long speed. As a back, that's what makes AP, guys like AP, Marshawn, that's what makes those guys special, because they got long speed. Then they'll beat you up to get a blade of grass. You see what I'm saying? They'll beat you up, and they like the contact. Todd Gurley, to me, could be the best out of all of them. But TD got to beat for us. TD, you got to beat.
Word Smith, Strata.
When the pop rap charts make the art fade away.
That's the whole tragic
Oh, this is my favorite beats right here. Oh, man, I love this right here.
This one, I'm just riding. You just riding.
Oh, this is fire. This is where Nas just dropped some knowledge on you. Oh, that's fire right
That's
there.
Real fire. Hey, that's man, we got our next segment. Or nah.
Or nah.
TD, what you got for us this week?
What's going on, fellas? On today's Or Nah, I got to ask you guys. You guys have been watching the playoffs, I'm sure. The Warriors came back down 3-1, won that series. It's a rematch. Cavs, Warriors. So are the Warriors going to repeat or nah?
I'm going to say or nah. I like the Cavs. And it's not because that random dude dropped the F. Steph Curry song.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a I'm going off track. There's a video of like NBA players dancing to their own music, but they got that track over the top of it. So it really looked like they're vibing to the F. Steph Curry. And so there's a meme that had Steph Curry looking at Westbrook, where he's like peeking at him, and Westbrook is hunched over.
Yeah.
And the little bubble was like, I seen you in that video dancing to F. Steph Curry. Dance now. So anyways, listen, I like Steph Curry. I like what he's doing. I love Klay Thompson. You know, I'm a huge basketball nut.
Yeah.
I just feel like with the rest these Cavs have had, the confidence in which they have played these playoffs, in the health. Now they got Kevin Love back.
That's the big thing.
And, you know, it was last year, it was the Splash Brothers, and everybody was giving crap to the Trash Brothers, which they kind of named Shumpert and J.R. Smith. They've been playing well. J.R.'s been playing tremendous. He plays great defense. Shumpert comes in off the bench, plays well. Even Dellavedova does his job. I like the Cavs. That's my squad.
You know what? As you, my homie, as much as I hate to agree with you, I agree. You see how I just
yeah.
It's like a Sour Patch Kid. But anyway, yeah, I hate to agree with you, but I think the Cavs being healthy, I think LeBron is the most valuable player in the league. I think Steph is the most impressive player. He had the most impressive season.
Yeah,
this year. But as far as value, those Cavs would be nowhere without LeBron. Being,
that's facts.
You know what I mean? As far as value.
So basically, in the Kevin Durant voice, you're saying LeBron, you the real MVP.
Yeah, he's the real MVP. But I tell you this, never, and we've been hearing it all playoffs, you can't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're right. And they've been there, done that.
LeBron is a champion, but nobody else on that team really is.
And that locker room might still smell like champagne.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, TD, who you think? Who you got?
All I'll say is this. We remember the Cavs taking that 2-1 series lead over the Warriors. Ever since that point, the Warriors have won 5 straight games against the Cavs. And pretty much none of them have been close.
So,
I'm leaning Warriors. They won 73 for a reason, as we saw when they were down 3-1.
Yeah, and this is my thing. If you leave space for them boys to come back in the game, if you don't put your foot on their throat early,
right,
they will come back. It's going to happen.
I guarantee we will see the most impressive collection of games from LeBron James. He's been casually being the Magic Johnson of this squad during these playoffs, getting everybody
involved.
But
it's not his nature.
It's
not his nature.
I guarantee.
I love him. It's not his nature, though, man.
He's not going up against
the guy. He doesn't have that Kobe. He doesn't have
that Kobe.
He's going
to get it done.
He doesn't have that Kobe. I agree. I think so. But he just doesn't have that Kobe.
That's a wrap, man. That's a wrap. Hey, listen, man, you got to spread the word about R&B. This is what we do. man, hit us up. Hashtag RANDB. Yo, hit my man TD on Twitter. Hit Real Mike Rob. Hit
yeah, Twitter. Man, Real Mike Rob.
Go to iTunes and
all that.
Comment because we want this show to be a show. So
that's we need to be on TV talking like this to you fans, educating you guys yeah, on
shout,
all
shout
of
out,
this.
Shout out to Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN. They do their thing. So we gonna
ain't giving them no shout out.
We gonna do that, but it's gonna
man. They work for ESPN. Nate, you better watch hey, out.
I'm just saying our show's gonna be better.
It is better.
I'll text Jalen.
Forget them.
That's what's up.
Back next week.
Oh, yeah, we back next week.
Another round of R&B.
Oh, yeah.
You thought I was gonna rap. But I don't know nothing but the trap. That's where I come from, Mike. I'm about to stop.
Ooh, you was about to
come on, man. I was about to, man. I, you know, but that ain't my style, Nasty.